Jesus, the Great Identifier. Let's talk about it on this edition of Key Life. That's the fog for him, voice of Steve Brown. And this is Key Life, designed to get you home with freedom, joy, and faithfulness. If that is your desire, stay tuned as Steve opens God's Word. Thanks, Mike. If you're just joining us, we've spent considerable time on the bad news of pain and suffering. We live in a bent world, and you got to deal with it. Bad stuff happens, and you got to deal with it. You don't get out of this thing without some bad things happening to you. And that's what the Bible teaches about a fallen world. We're not that good either. So if we got what we deserved, it'd be a lot worse than we think. And we've spent a long time talking about that, because you got to lay that base before you talk about pain and suffering. And then I've spent most of last week and this week talking about good news, that God loves you, that his love is unconditional, that whatever you go through, no matter what pain and suffering, it does have a purpose. Romans 8:28 is true. You are going to get through it. The Bible promises that you're not alone. Jesus will meet you in the place of broken ropes, the place of darkness and pain. Not maybe right away, but he will come, and you'll know him in a way you haven't known him before. He's making you like Jesus. Don't like it, but he's doing that. We talked yesterday about how pain can be redemptive. It can be for other people. I don't like the idea of death. Who wants to say, I'm not afraid of death, I just don't want to be there when it happens. And I don't particularly like the process of getting there. But I'm praying that when my time comes to die, God will give me the grace that I need. You know what I want? I want all of my Christian friends to invite their non-Christian friends to my deathbed. And I want Christians to be able to say, come and see how a Christian man dies. If that happens, then my own death, my own suffering, will be redemptive. Frankly, I don't know if that's going to happen, but God gives the grace when he calls you to the task. I'm not altogether happy about my death right now. Good news is you're going to heaven. The bad news is you're going on Thursday. But my mother did that. My mother was absolutely a wonderful witness for Christ at the time of her death. The doctor and I had a deal, and he was going to call when she could no longer live by herself, and we had a place at our home in Miami that had a separate bath and stuff and where she could stay. But she wanted to live in her house in North Carolina as long as she could, and she was getting up in years, and the doctor said, called me and said, it's time. But the problem was that we'd just gone through the hurricane. We didn't have a house. So my wife and I packed up and went up into the mountains, and I took a tape recorder and did this broadcast from there. We had a computer and a fax machine, and we, for 3 months, stayed with my mother, and we nursed her, and I just can't tell you how thankful I am for the hospice people. I mean, they were so kind, and they, not so much for what they did, but the fact that they were there. You know, if there was something I couldn't do at 2 in the morning, I could call and somebody would be there. And the doctors were so kind. But my mother had said to her doctor, look, I can deal with dying. I just don't want to have any pain. And he said, Mrs. Brown, I can promise you, you won't. But people, all of her friends came and said goodbye. She called my nephew and her grandson and talked about the girl he was dating and said, son, you marry her if you love her. She gave out advice. She said goodbye. She laughed. She said goodbye to me. Even talking about this is kind of hard. But she was an absolute wonderful witness for me. Such great grace. And then she died. And I wanted to, you know, I had so many pagan friends. I wanted to say, listen, you guys, I want you to come and watch. I want to show you how a godly woman dies. I want you to see something so you will know the truth about the reality that we believe. And so, in her sense, her death was redemptive. Suffering can also, just to continue with this, redemptive is the one who suffers. You know what suffering does? It sort of purifies us. It makes us, in the process of being crucified with Christ, there's kind of a fire that burns away the minor stuff that doesn't matter anymore. You know, you can say a lot about this 9/11 thing, and it's been awful. And there's been, oh man, it's been tough. But have you noticed how families are more important now? How things that really are important really become important, where secondary stuff isn't so much? When we go through suffering and pain ourselves, our egos begin to die. Paul wrote, "I've been crucified with Christ." This is Galatians 2:20, and I quoted it before. "It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." Listen, when it comes your time to die, it will be difficult in direct proportion to how much you have died before you die. You say, what? In other words, it's going to be hard depending on how much you've died before you die. And those people who have gone through really hard and difficult times often have had a lot of the dross burned away. Have you noticed that much of our Christian life is so ego-oriented? Now, I'm a preacher, a Bible teacher. I have a broadcast, and I'm often in front of people at large conferences or things, and that's very ego-satisfying. That's what they say at the seminary. They give you a microphone, put you 6 feet above everybody else, shine a spotlight on you, and then they say, be humble. That's very hard to do, but this is a hard... You need to pray for me because of the ego that's involved in it. For a pastor, our public prayers and testimonies are often not speaking of and glorifying God, but are glorifying ourselves. One of the great dangers of the electronic church, of which I'm a part, is that it glorifies ego sometimes. It promotes testimonies pleasing to the audience rather than God. And so when you go through suffering and pain, it begins to weed away at the ego. And so in that sense, it's redemptive. 1 Corinthians 3:11 through 15 is the is an interesting passage. Let me read it to you. "For no other foundation can be laid than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become manifest, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work, which he has built on it, endures, it will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet as through fire." C.S. Lewis called that the Protestant purgatory. and it is. But you know, sometimes that happens before then. And then, I want to say something that I've referred to as we've gone along, but let me bring this up. And then next week we're going to talk about, all right, so there's some good news. What do I do when it really hurts bad? How am I going to deal with it? But let me give you one more item of good news, and that is that you have a fellow sufferer, because God loves and values you. He is identified with you and has suffered that from which you suffer. Hebrews 4:15 says this, "For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but has at all points been tempted as we are, yet without sin." Said it before, but Christ didn't just die to keep you from dying. That's going to be a fact. You've got to die. So he died as you die. He didn't come to just keep you from suffering, but to suffer as you suffer. This is what Peter wrote. This is 1 Peter 2:21. "For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow in his steps." When Donald Gray Barnhouse served as pastor in Philadelphia, some enemies of the gospel were spreading slanderous stories about him. His attorney said to Barnhouse, "Look, you can't respond whenever you hear the stories. You've got to say, I cannot respond to that on the advice of my attorney." Now, that's hard. I mean, if you can't defend yourself, you've got a real problem. Well, one day, Barnhouse was walking down the street in Philadelphia. He met a fellow pastor. Pastor asked Barnhouse how he was doing, and Barnhouse told his friend about the slander and what his attorney has said. Man, the pastor said, that's got to be terrible. Yeah, said Barnhouse, it's really, really difficult. Your church must be ready to fire you. Barnhouse said, well, no. As a matter of fact, my church has been wonderful. The elders of the church just gave me a raise, said Pastor. We're gonna do this because we want to let you know that we believe in you and we're standing with you. Well, your family must be angry. Well, no, they've been wonderful. During the time they've gone out of their way to express their love, well, you must have lost your friends. No, Barnhouse said, I'm very fortunate. My friends, they stood with me through all this. Well, Donald, his friend said, have they driven nails through your hands and your feet? Have they spit on you and cursed you and hung you on a cross? Barnhouse hung his head, and the pastor said, Donald, you have a long way to go yet. That's just a reminder that when it gets bad, he knew what it was like when it got bad, when you're lonely. He was lonely, too, when you're afraid. He was afraid, too. When you go through pain and suffering, he went through pain and suffering, too, because he is the great identifier. He has identified with us. Can you think about that? Amen. Hey, listen, have you written for the booklet we're offering? I'll send it to you as long as supplies last, free. It's called Does My Father Know I'm Heard? It's from the teaching we're doing and also from the book I wrote that you can get from us or your bookstore when your rope breaks is the name of it. If you'll give us a call, 1-800-KEY-LIFE 24 hours a day, or you can write Key Life Post Office Box 5000, Bigland, Florida 32794, or Key Life Canada Post Office Box 32150, Cambridge, Ontario, N3H5N3, or you can email us at steve@keylife.org, and we'll send along the booklet free, Does My Father Know I'm Hurt? And it's free, but if you can help us financially, I sure would appreciate it. I got a note from a listener. You often say most people cannot afford to support Key Life. Maybe you should say, even if you can send $5 or $10 every few months, that would be a big help. And then this person says, and say it without sounding like a TV preacher. Listen, we do need your help, and we need it desperately to maintain this broadcast. You can charge a contribution on your MasterCard, Visa, Discover card, included in your envelope, and I would appreciate it so much. Not only that, as my thank you, when you request it, I'll send along the cassette teaching Singing in the Storm. Gotta go. Key Life is a production of Key Life Network.